We've been spending about 5 months exploring what Christianity is. Okay, look up here, everyone, please. There's no reason to look down. And we dealt with some of the most compelling topics any human beings could deal with, such as death and eternity, such as hell and judgment, sin and wrath of God. These are Christian topics. You may not like it, but these are Christian topics, and we've been dealing with these topics, and these are real topics. Yeah. Okay, so you've been hearing about this great topics. How about topics like resurrection, atonement, blood? You can't really brush these things off unless you are a mindless person. Okay, you can, you really can't. Okay, we've been spending 17 weeks, some of you have been hearing it every single message, and maybe you're here for the first time, it's okay. But I'm asking you, what do you plan to do now? What do you want to do now? You know, a lot of people just walk away. Even with those compelling topics that if you are in the right frame of mind, you can't really brush off. And yet you do, right? And you just go on with your life. Last week, we started to deal with this topic, and I share what George Whitefield, one of the, okay, could you keep that door closed? One of the most famous Christian preacher in history said, if you are truly born again, you will become as children. We talked about that. And if you're truly converted, if you are a Christian, according to George Whitefield, and he shared three things. Number one, you'll be loose with the world. Are you loose with the world? 3-year-old is not ambitious about becoming an Olympic champion or going to Oxford University. 3-year-old is pretty loose with the world. How about you? Okay, how about you, youth group? What does your life revolve around? Are you pretty loose with the world, or are you obsessed with the world? Right? Secondly, he mentioned, if you are truly converted and you live as a child, and you will know your weakness. Do you feel like you're weak? Or do you get offended if people ignore you because you feel like you deserve it? You're so jealous, right? You know, that's the second thing. And third one is, I think, the one that I really want to talk about today, that he mentioned, if you are a childlike person, you will be guileless, meaning you're not really lying or crafty. You're simple and straightforward. And I think about relating to that to today's topic. Can you love someone with guile, cunningly? So many people do, actually. Can you love someone and hiding a couple mistresses in your life? Can you do that? And you say you love him or love her. That's precisely what I want to talk about today. And I want to just continue to invite you, because until your life is fully given and surrendered to Christ, I mean fully, with everything, I'm not sure whether you're a Christian. Okay, I know you hate this kind of statement, especially if you are struggling with this. But I can't help it, because that's my conviction. from the scripture. Okay? So, second week, today, what are you going to do? What do you plan to do with all these great topics? Are you planning to do, how are you going to deal with hell? If there is hell, who's going to the hell? We clearly defined it for you a few weeks ago. Unless your name is written on the book of life, clearly, you will be. Okay? How long is hell? Eternal. Right? Eternal. So today, second week, how are you going to respond? And two topics. You follow me. That's literally what it is in John chapter 21, verse 22. It's an emphatic statement. You follow me. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Okay? Very emphatic. Are you following Christ? If you don't, what are you following? What is your plan? Okay? So today, with that as the title, I found this picture, Follow Me, Following Jesus. Could you take a look at this? I don't know what comes to your mind. I've been thinking about this picture all morning, this morning. There's a railroad track. Following Jesus, till when? To the end. To the end. You don't follow during your college years or single years, and then you get married and then get distracted. What is that? Is that okay? Right? So looking at this picture, following Christ to the end. And secondly, I was also thinking about, if you look at this picture, there's only one rail. There is a race that is marked off for you. Hebrews chapter 12, I believe. There is a race that is marked off for me. Okay? I think those are pretty biblical things. Okay? Where is the end? There is the end. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Until we see Him face to face, we follow Him. Okay, so I want to start with that, you know, kind of introduction, and I want to share one quote by John R.W. Stott, Englishman, very famous in 20th century. And let me just introduce what he shared, okay? Our greatest claim to nobility, being human being as a noble dignity person, okay, is our created capacity to know God. Okay? And to be in personal relationship with Him, to love Him, and to worship Him. And could you take a look at this? I love this quote, okay? Our greatest claim to nobility in our created capacity is our created capacity to know God. No other creation in the world could know God, only human being. Do you know Him? Can you say you know Him? Can you say you love Him? Right? Can you say you worship Him? I don't want to just corner you, but I was thinking about this quote. And I was thinking, we could put eternity to this. Okay? Let me try it. Okay, I'll tell you what I mean by that. Our greatest claim to nobility is our creative capacity to know God eternally. And to be in personal relationship with Him and to love Him eternally. And to worship Him eternally. I really think that is the greatest thing. For those of you who come to New Heart for some time, if you come to our prayer meeting, there's a song that we sing all the time. Song that I learned 35 years ago in the mission field in France. And we sing it all the time. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing You. I want to know You more. I want to know You more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I learned it 35 years ago. It happens to be the truth. It's the truth. The second verse is loving you. Third verse used to be serving you or worshiping you. I learned it 35 years ago by grace. And that is the truth, don't you think? Don't you think? You know why it is the greatest thing to know him? Because he is transcendently great. There's nothing greater than him. He's transcendently great. His transcendent greatness, holiness. That's why. I hope that makes sense, okay? So today's text comes from John chapter 21, which is the last chapter of John's gospel. And those of you who understand the gospel, John chapter 21 is like the last episode of Korean drama. Okay? I don't know whether you like Korean drama. I'm not going to ask because I already know you do. Okay? Korean drama, last chapter is very important. And this is the last chapter. What is the last episode of Gospels is about? This resurrected Jesus, right, comes to one single guy. His name is Simon Peter, and he failed him just a few days ago miserably. How do you like that? And he basically, you know, disowned him and just bitterly cursed him and betrayed him. Do you like someone who's betraying you? I know some of you were in relationship, and I heard like over the years when I've been doing ministry, oh, he betrayed me. You hate that, don't you? Right? And here's a person who betrayed Jesus. I do not know him. I you know, if I know him, may I be cursed. He betrayed Jesus. And to that Simon Peter, at his lowest point of his life, Jesus resurrected Euangelion King, the King of Kings, comes to a one person and asking this question three times. You know what the question is? I already asked you. Do you love me? Look at me, please. Come on, people. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus? Do you love God? That's what the last episode of Christianity is about, the gospel is about. Is that your Christianity? Just asking, because just in case you completely missed the mark. Okay? That's what Christianity is about. Do you love God? Right? Let me read the text. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agapao me?" Right? "More than these," he said to him. "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Okay? He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, tend my sheep," or "take care of my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." This disappeared yesterday. I couldn't retrieve. And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Last episode of Jesus' gospel drama. Do you love me? Right? Let me just finish. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." And this is to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Okay? You know, I was thinking about this. Does this mean Peter's life will turn out to be good? Yes. His death, his end, will glorify God. Isn't that a good news? Do you want to do that with your life? I don't know whether you ever thought about that. Most of you are young. That's the only thing I'm aiming at right now. I want to finish well to glorify God. And I really mean it. I'm aiming to finish well to glorify God. Okay? So, after saying, he said to him, follow me. Okay, that's the first follow me. And Peter turned around and saw a disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John, okay? The author of John's gospel, following them. Okay, so Jesus and Peter were walking, and John was following them. And the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, is that the one who is going to betray you? And that's John. Okay, when Peter saw John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? What about him? He's being nosy. And Jesus said, never mind about him, okay? He basically says, Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You, me follow, in Greek. You, simply follow me. That's the last command, last word in the Gospel of Jesus, Gospel of John. Are you following Christ? I read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon this week about following Christ. Charles Spurgeon is about a pastor from 150 years ago. George Whitfield is from 300 years ago. I happened to read a sermon by him, and this is what he says about following Christ. Following is your main business as a Christian, as a disciple, as a human being. Following is your main business. Listen to me. It's not going to college. It's not to settle your baby and marriage. It's not let your business flourish. No. The main business of a Christian or disciple is to follow Christ. To follow Christ. Spurgeon. Okay. And I absolutely, absolutely agree with him. Just completely agree with him. Okay, so that's the text. And, this passage I have picked today, this week, because I had a very interesting week this week. Very packed week. I cannot tell you everything that happened this week. So many great things happened. So many great things. I'm finishing up my education, and we're preparing a huge movement in the city with Ambassadors Conference. Just so many different things. And I was thinking about what passage should I tell the congregation? How are you going to respond after listening to all these gospel messages? How are you going to respond? Because I think someone said it, and he's absolutely right. It doesn't matter how many times you heard it. It doesn't even matter whether you're stirred by it. Unless you believe and follow, you're not following him. You're not a Christian. I'm sorry. Right? So I was preparing this message, and this John chapter 21 is very special to me because when I was in college, 1982 to 85, can you imagine 1980s? Youth group, can you imagine 1980s? They're like, what? Try to imagine 1980s, okay? There is me, a college student, sitting down early in the morning doing my devotion, open my Bible, John chapter 21, and this is the passage I read. And continue to imagine, okay? Continue. Lord spoke to me. He said, this is how I want you to live. Do you love me? He asked me. And I very, very carefully, yes, Lord, I think I do. And he said, feed my lamb. Do you love me, Paul? I think so. Yeah, yes, I do. Take care of my sheep. Do you love me, Paul? Do you love me? When I was a college student in the 80s, okay? Try to feel the air, okay, 1980s. And he asked me, do you love me? Feed my lamb. And he said, follow me, follow me. That's 35 years ago, my friends. 35 years ago. Very special passage for me. Some of you are in college years. Some of you are younger than college years. Some of you are way beyond college years. It doesn't really matter. Are you following Christ? That's the main business. Don't forget that. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Your main business is not to make your business flourish through Jesus. Your main business is not going to the greatest college through the means of Jesus. Those are not your main businesses. That's a lie. Let me just tell you, those are lies. You need to follow Christ. That's the main business. Because the greatest thing in anybody's wildest dream is to know him and to love him and to serve him and to follow him. If you don't, if you follow something else, you will end up in destruction eternally. That's what the gospel says, doesn't it? Youth group, are you listening to this? If you don't follow him, your life will be destroyed. Go ask your parents. You really need to ask this question. If you don't follow Christ, if you follow the world, if you have a tight grip on the world instead of loose grip like a child, you're not going to follow him. You're not going to follow him. Do you understand? No, seriously. Justin, you got it, right? He's my man. Yeah. All right. You too, all of you. Doesn't matter where you are in your life. If you're not following him, your life will be ruined according to Jesus. If you're not following him. Here's my question, okay? Let me begin. I just kind of like subdivide into three. Do you love me? And then feed my lamb? And then follow me, okay? So those are my three sub-points. Let me begin with, do you love me? Loving God is what Christianity is about. Did you know? In case you didn't know, that's what Old Testament says, that's what the New Testament says. Christianity is all about loving God. In case you didn't know, right? Shema Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Shema Israel, listen, love me. That's Christianity. When it comes to the New Testament, John chapter 21, Jesus, God incarnate, says, do you love me? Do you agapao me? This is someone who gave his life in place of you because he agapaoed you. Can you, don't do this, but can you imagine you turn to your neighbor and say, do you love me? Can you try? Did you already try? Do you love me? Can you ask your neighbor? Don't. Can I just ask you, who would you ask that question to? Would you just grab anybody and ask, do you love me? Of course not. You got to be out of your mind to do that. If you were to ever ask this question, do you love me? It's got to be the person that I would imagine that you love with all of your heart, that you so long to hear this person say back to you, I love you. Isn't that the case? And Jesus, God incarnate, who knows all men, what is in a man, asking a question, do you love me? Is that a question, you think? Questions in the Bible, God and or Jesus ask it, are not really questions that God is kind of curious to find out because in case he could be wrong. It's not that. The questions the Bible ask and or God ask, it's a statement. It really is. Okay? Remember when Adam sinned and he was hiding behind a tree? I don't know what kind of tree that was, right? And God, who is omniscient, almighty, couldn't figure out where he was, and he comes along, and that's why he asks Adam, 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 where are you? I can't see you. You think that's a question? That's not a question. That question is not for God. That question is for Adam. It's amazing how those questions God asks always apply to you. Try it. Where are you? Where's your heart at? Where's your life at? How about this question that Jesus asked Peter? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Can you ask that? Hey, do you love Jesus more than the world? Your wife? Your career? Your success? What's success? Right? So Christianity is about loving God. And I have two questions for you. Is God lovable? Is God lovable? We sang it today. We are lost in His love, great love. He poured out, God of the universe poured out His love and His life for a wretch like me. Is God lovable? Second question is, can we ever love Him? And answer is, of course. When the waterfall comes down, there's gonna be a river. I hope that makes sense to you. That's what Christianity is, okay? Second part is when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, yes, I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my lamb. Could you look up here? Feed my lamb. Okay, what is he saying? He's talking in shepherd language. In John's gospel, in the previous chapter, John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd, the God of the Old Testament. I'm the good shepherd, and good shepherd lay down my life in place of sheep. That's for you if you believe in him. And he's asking Peter, feed my lamb and take care of my sheep. Someone who betrayed him and disowned him, a punk like you or me, would you take care of feed my lamb? Does that mean Jesus trusts Peter? Sounds like it, doesn't it? How in the world did Jesus attain those sheep to be his sheep? Through his life and through his blood. So how precious is that? It's got to be very, very precious. And he said, feed my lamb and take care of my sheep. Here's what I'm thinking. If you love him, you will feed his sheep. If you love him, you will treasure what he treasures. If you love him, you will devote your life where he devoted his life. No? Am I being unreasonable here? Am I being unreasonable, Yuthkum? If you love him, you will devote your life to the one, to something that he devoted his entire life. Don't you think? Does that make sense? Am I just making too much out of American Christianity? He laid down his life and atoned and saved and rescued sheep. How precious is that? And he's asking, feed my lamb. You know, every Saturday night, for those of you who do not know, people come to my house, I guess my house, yeah, for Next Gen Ministry. I don't know, every Saturday night, how many people would you say it is? About 25? About 25 people, starting from youth all the way to unmarried singles, mostly unmarried people. About 25 people come. We spend from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock together, and we eat together. And I really believe in eating together. You probably look at me and says, yeah, I could see that, you know. I see why. But I really do believe, because this is the way Jesus ministered. The ministry of the table, okay? he always eat together with people. And we eat together, youth group, sixth graders, all the way to people who are in their 20s and even 30s, and in someone like myself in 50s. And you would probably think, if you know how people relate this day and age, you do not want to spend time with old people, you do not want to spend time with young people. That's just the way it is, right? But we started this ministry maybe a year and a half ago, really trying to figure out like the breakthrough for the ministry of the Korean American churches, because churches are so divided and declining. And we started this ministry with doubts, I guess, from people doubting. And after a year and a half, I am seeing people really begin to enjoy each other. Okay? If you agree with me, can you say amen if you agree with me? I'm serious. One day it just kind of dawned on me. I was just sitting at my dinner table, and there was a youth, middle school student, and then someone who's in late 20s. They're talking, and they were talking and yakking about nothing. And yet, I was just kind of watching them. And yet, what I noticed was, wow, they really enjoy each other. I don't know what happened, but they really enjoy each other. And I looked to the right, same thing. They really enjoy each other. I looked over there in my living room, and they really enjoy each other. Okay. I really believe if you love Christ, you will love His people, don't you think? No? If you love Christ, you will love His people. Can I just tell you? 1 John. Oh, yeah, right here. 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. That's Christianity. And here's what I want to say. If anyone says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar, right? I love God, but I hate his people. You're a liar, he's saying. For he who does not love his brother, whom he could see, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Very logical, no? Very, very logical. If you love God, you're gonna love his people. And we're starting an ambassadors conference in about a week. Please listen to me. If you love God, I think you would wanna be part of that. You would be interested. You're at least, your mind will be drawn to that. No? I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think so. We have 93 people registered from all over the great Northeast right now. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C. And I'm not trying to boast about that. God is drawing his people, and I'm sharing this with you because I pray that you will love God. Right? You will love God and you love his people. Feed them. Right? Lastly, follow me. Okay? Following Christ. You answer to yourself right now. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you say you're following Christ right now? You answer to yourself. You don't need to answer to me or anyone else. Would you say you're following Christ right now? Would you say you've been following Christ for the last 1 year? How about, would you say you've been following Christ, not staggering, not stagnating, not backsliding? People use that word. People think that's okay to use. I backslide. Would you say you are following Christ for the last 10 years? No, seriously, I really want to ask you this question. Okay? You know what? Following Christ is the main business of a Christian. In case you didn't hear this, it's not about you getting into college. I want to make this very clear. It's not about you doing well in your career. If that hinders you from following Christ, that is not a blessing. Don't follow that. You know this college and you know you're going to walk away from Christ. Don't go there. I would never send my kids there. They never left my home anyway, but yeah. Don't. Following Christ is the main business. If you lose him, you lose it all. You will lose it all. Okay? Secondly, do you remember when Peter, being nosy, and asked about John, what about this guy? You know, I'm going to stretch out my hands and I'm going to die and I'm going to be killed for you to glorify you. What about him? And Jesus said, never mind about him. You follow me. You know what he's saying? This is what it means. Very important message. You following Christ is not contingent upon anyone else. It's not. It's not. You're ruined if you don't follow him because your friends don't follow him. You're ruined if you don't follow him. You're following Christ. My following Christ is not contingent upon you. You could all walk away. Still, I have to follow him. I mean it. That's been the battle of my life for 35 years. Battle of my life. People walk away. What am I doing so wrong? Why is it so difficult? Why does it feel like I'm pouring water into a basin and there is no bottom? That's been my battle. Still is. But I know still I want to cling onto the cross, and my following Christ of my life is not contingent upon you or anyone else. Not even my wife. Not even my parents. I really want you to understand that, brothers and sisters. You can stand before the Lord one day and kind of blame. All my friends left the church. You can't do that. I don't think that'll cut it. I don't think that'll work. You're ruined. Because I read it today, you will be judged according to the life that you lived. According to the life that you lived. You can't really blame anybody. Following Christ is the main business. Following Christ is not contingent upon anyone else. And lastly, this is the hard message, okay? Following Christ is you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Look at me, please. Take up your cross and follow Christ. That's the Christianity Jesus is teaching. Don't dilute that. Don't try to compare yourself with your friends out there and they don't even go to church, so I'm doing much better than them, so I must be okay kind of life. Don't do that. Don't do that, people. Don't do that. One last statement that I want to share of following Christ is a call to, listen, self-denying, not man-centered fulfillment of what you desire. You will never follow him if you want to do that. You will never follow him if you are in the center of your life. Gospel calls you and I to submit fully to Jesus Christ and give it all to Christ. I'm just stating it very plainly. If you want to follow, you're going to have to submit with everything, all to Jesus. You must surrender. All or nothing. All or nothing. Please look up. Please. You may never get a chance like this ever. All or nothing. We sang this today. Can you just read through with your eyes as I read it? Okay. Someone wrote this song. I believe who understood this. Okay. Let me read it to you. Okay. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. And the chorus, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Second verse, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures, all forsaken, you grip unto it tight, you will never follow him. Okay? Take me, Jesus, and take me now. 3, 4, 5, bear with me. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine, completely yours. Can you love someone partially? Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that you are mine. Do you know whether Jesus is yours? We are not really sure. Is it okay not to be sure? Is it okay to just go on, not be sure? Fourth verse, all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee, Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. Do you have the presence and power of God in you? Or do you feel like you're a beat up person all the time? Is that okay? Is that normal? Last verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame, holy fire flame in me. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. Do you have the joy of salvation? If not, why not? How long has it been like that? All to Jesus. My only diagnosis for you is because you never surrender all to Christ. My only diagnosis for you. Only reasonable diagnosis. Perhaps you did maybe 10 years ago and then you didn't follow through. You are off the track. Remember that track? I'm not going to go to that. You're off the track. There's a race marked out for you, but you're not running on it. You're running somewhere else. That's why there is no fire. There's no life in you. Only excuses justifying yourself all the time. And you know it. You go home, you don't feel great about that. You go to sleep and you don't feel great about that. Is that okay? My only diagnosis, my only reasonable diagnosis that I could come up with you why you don't have that holy, sacred fire in you, passion in you, is because you never given surrender to the great Savior. Not everything. Maybe a little bit, but not everything. How about you, youth group? Have you given all to Jesus? You've been coming to church all your life. All your life. Have you given all to Christ? Do you love him with all of your heart? Justin looks at me straight in the eyes. Have you given all to Christ? Is your life given to Christ? If you were to die right now, you'll be able to stand before him. Can you do that? He smiles at me. Last thing. I love this title, John Pratt, David Pratt, I think, book. Follow Me is called to die, because if you follow him, you're going to die, right? But it is called to live. I would say this is the only way to live. There is no other way. If you follow him, you will live. If and only if you follow him, you will live. That's what the Bible says. I just want to be straightforward with you. Instead of pampering you, I just want to be straight with the Word of God. 35 years. He called me through this passage. 1980 something, I don't even know. Do you love me? Feed my lamb. You follow me. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing. It's simply, it's the greatest thing. Let's pray.